You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Children's church and youth group and everything will be up and running this coming Sunday. We are excited to have everybody back in the pocket. Amen. Ready to do what it is that God has called us, what God has called us to do. Today, a part of our kingdom culture sermon series, I want to talk to you from a subtopic entitled, It's All About the Love. It's all about the love. Amen. Over the last couple of weeks, God has been dealing with me on the topic of love in the church, love concerning the church, and showing love to everyone who comes into the church. A couple of Sundays ago, while in Orlando, Florida, Miriam and I were able to visit the Deeper Fellowship Church, whose pastor is award-winning gospel artist, William McDowell. From the security guard in the parking lot, to the members we met while walking into the church, to the greeters who greeted us like we were family, who they hadn't seen in a while, everything, and I mean everything, was about love. In fact, you got the idea that Pastor McDowell has been pushing love to his members for a long time now because the spirit of love was just so absolutely thick in the building. As always, when I'm visiting another church, I try to pick up things that I feel might help Growth Temple, especially if we incorporate them properly, their ways and their practices. But this day, I was just too taken aback by the serious sense of love that was displayed with a little over 800 people. All we were able to find was love. With God already dealing with me about love and then witnessing the love that we had witnessed that Sunday, I knew that this was a topic that God wanted me to speak on. Today I want to start in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 34 through 35, the New Living Translation. And this is Jesus speaking. And he says, so now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Now, at first glance, this may not seem really heavy, but once we remember who's talking, it automatically begins to add weight to the situation. Anytime that Jesus is involved, weight is added. Amen. This is Jesus, and he's saying, I'm giving you a new commandment. And he tells them that the commandment is to love each other, and then he stops. There's an actual period right there. He tells them to love each other, period. He stops. And I think that he stops to let the command sink in. Because to command folk to love one another is a serious ask. And not only does he command them to love, he says, I want you to love each other as I have loved you. So Jesus isn't allowing them to bring any old kind of love to the table. This love has a standard. The love he's calling for has a standard. This love has been exemplified in the greatest of ways. He says, just as I have. In other words, I want you to love. I want the love you have for one another to mirror or to look just like the love I have for you. And here's the hit. Jesus says, your love for one another will prove that you're my disciples. It won't be your tongue talking. It won't be your gifts and your talents. On the strength of how you love is how people will know that you are from me. Lord, have mercy. Now, this is deep for a bevy of reasons. One, why does Jesus feel he needs to stress this? Here's something else that stands out to me. He's commanding them to love each other. He's talking to the disciples, and he's commanding them to love one another. He says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. He isn't commanding them to love their enemies. He does, but just not right there. He's not commanding them to love the world. He does, but just not right there. He's commanding them to love each other. But hold up. See, what perplexes me in the text is because I understand they are together all the time. They are accomplishing some amazing things together. They are experiencing the love of Christ from Christ himself. Loving one another ought to be a given, right? You would think that loving one another, duh, right? Well, let's look at it like this. Some of you have been going to this church for years. And can you honestly say that you love each other? I mean, do you love every one of the people that's in here? Have you even conversed with everyone in here? I mean, for real, it's about 50 faithful ones, amen? Paul said something deep about love as well in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 10 in the New Living Translation. He says it like this. He says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Wow. The Apostle Paul is saying this. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. And not only that, hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. So hold on, wait a minute. Not only are we supposed to love each other, we're supposed to honor one another. I'm supposed to put you ahead of me. If it's one chicken biscuit left on the plate, and y'all know how I like a chicken biscuit, but if there's one chicken biscuit on the plate, and I get even a hint of a whiff that you hungry, it does not matter anymore how hungry I am or how much I love me a chicken biscuit. The love that I have for you ought to put you before me. In other words, oh God, I hear you, Holy Spirit. Watching you eat the biscuit ought to fill me. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Paul said, don't be fake about the love. Paul said, really love them. Do you know that you are really supposed to love the person sitting across the room from you? See, 9 times out of 10, if you're sitting next to somebody, it's because you want to. You know them. You've probably been loving them. Amen? But stretch your eyes across the room to some people who you couldn't tell them your first name. Do you love them? Now, some people say, Pastor, how is it that you just can just go around loving people? Let me tell you something. And it used to blow the men's mind in our ministry because I didn't take no time for me to just to say, I love you. I only have to be on the phone call with you that one time. But before I hang up the phone, I love you. And it's easy for me to do that. And here's the thing. I really do love you. And the reason that it's easy to do is because God will never ask you to do something that he won't give you a grace for. So when he tells you to love one another, Lord, have mercy. It's easy to do if you're truly in alignment with God because he's graced you to be able to love everybody that comes in your circle. Don't make no never mind how long I've known you. I love you. you see. Now, if I'm just being real, can I be real? Ain't nobody gonna take it personal. Now, I might love you, but I don't necessarily like you. Yeah. Because he didn't command me to like you. He commanded me to love you. Because love will take us through the storm. Like won't. Folk that like you will leave you quick. But when I love you, Lord, have mercy. It don't make no never mind what's going on between us because I love you. You understand what I'm saying to you? And then he goes on to tell us, he says that we are to hate what is wrong. Now let me back that thing up because I don't want that to go out the house the wrong way. When I say I don't like you, my Gigi taught me a lesson a long time ago. She says, it's not that I don't like you. She says, sometimes it's that I just don't like your ways. Amen. Amen. You got a right to feel that way, right? Because, you know, people's ways can rub you wrong sometime. Amen. So it ain't necessary. But see, here's the thing. When you get spiritually fit, you begin to say you can override the ways because you remember what the word said, that I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood enemies. You see, this is why my forgive game is strong. It ain't hard to forgive. Why? Because I understand that whoever it was that offended me, it wasn't really them. It was that thing that was on them. That was propelled or that was pushed to offend me. You understand what I'm saying to you? And see, this is the problem that we have in the 21st century Westernized church. We believe the word until we don't want to. Because if you've been offended by somebody, and the Bible says, but they ain't who really offended you, it was that principality that was on them that offended you, then automatically you're supposed to forgive them. But we don't do that, right? Because we don't stay in the spirit realm enough to understand that this isn't a flesh and blood issue. This is a spiritual principality issue. See, it's when you begin to grow in Christ that offense don't even lay long no more. You don't have to tell me you're sorry. I forgave you anyway. In fact, it was never about you, Lord, have mercy. It was about me, the relationship between me and my Father. Was I going to believe the word? Was I going to walk the word even after I've been offended? Are you going to believe the word? Are you going to walk the word even after you've been offended? And here's the thing. God ain't sitting back listening to your story. He ain't sitting around, you know, I would forgive them, but God, I'm just saying, you know how I feel. And God's like, I don't care about how you feel. I said, forgive them. Amen. You ain't got to take them fishing, but you do got to forgive them. Amen. Lord, have mercy. He goes on to tell us, he says, I want you to hate what is wrong and hold tight to what is good. And this is one of the biggest problems in the 21st century Westernized church. We have too many self-professing Christians loving what is wrong and despising what is good. And you know why folks despise what's good? Because what's good is of God, and what's of God doesn't align with our flesh, and most of us are controlled by our flesh. Lord, have mercy. How many of you got a good TV show with police and criminals in it? How many of you root for the criminal? Isn't that something? We're a blacklist family. We've been watching it for 10 years strong. We just rewatch it and watch it again and rewatch it. And every time, it's like when Raymond Reddington gets away, I'm just like, yeah. You ain't never gonna catch him. You know what I'm saying? But the reality is, Raymond's breaking the law. You see how we get duped in? So we root for the bad guy on TV, then wonder why some of our thinking is stinking. Huh? Be careful how you let TV train you. Oh, Lord. And I want to be very clear about something. When I talk about flesh, I'm not always talking sexual. Flesh can have something to do with your pride. It can have something to do with your lying and so on. You understand what I'm saying to you? But the point is, if you're not a disciplined child of God, God can be a problem for you. I'm going to say it again. If you're not a disciplined child of God, then God can be a problem for you, because God's will for your life doesn't necessarily constitute you getting your way. You might want to write that one down. God's will for your life doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get your way. You understand what I'm saying to you? But how many of you have matured in your faith to the point to where you're like, you know what? I'm glad I don't always get my way. Anybody know something about that? God ever close a door? God ever close a door on something you really wanted, and then a couple of months later you understood why he wouldn't let you have it? This thing is real. Amen. So, but the point is, if you're not a disciplined child of God, then God can be a problem for you. How many have a problem with God from time to time? Yeah. I mean, I know what the Bible say. Then why are we still talking? There used to be a time when, because little Miss Do right over here, a.k.a. my wife, we would argue, and she would... What does the Bible say? Well, I didn't search the scriptures for this situation. But one day, I was livid, and I said, I can't be wrong. And I went to the Word of God myself, and I found out I was right. Oh! And I set her up for failure, too. I was like, I didn't even have the Bible on me. And she couldn't see it, you know. And so then she said, well, let's go to the Word. And I was like, like we used to hold that thing, right? And I pulled it out and I said, I'm glad you brought the Bible up. And she sat there and she read it. I think she read it for 30 minutes over and over. It wasn't number two sentences. In her mind, I could see working in her mind. He got me. And I'm standing here like this. Let me tell you, she could have read for 2 months. I'd have still just been like, are you done? Because I am right. Amen. But it's funny how people get. They take all the Bible victories they can get. But then when I get a victory, now we got a debate. I mean, I know it say it, but. No. Ain't no but. It says it, that settles it. Do you know that's how we're supposed to live our life? In every area of our life, every moment of our life, whatever the Word of God says, that settles it. That's it. Do you know how much simpler life would be if you just made up in your mind that I'm just going to do what the Word say? Do you know how much money you'd save? You know how much, let me show you something that's more valuable than money. You know how much time you would save? Do you know how much of your heart you would save? Your feelings that you would save? If we just decided the Word of God is what I'm going to do, and that's just that. That is how it's supposed to be. When did we start making options? Yeah. It's offensive to God to make options concerning his Word. Can I say that again? Now, it's offensive to God to make options concerning his Word. Now, if you've ever done that, it should have been a... But because we haven't prioritized God in his rightful place, you understand what I'm saying to you? We say stuff like, yeah, I've read the Word, but then did my own thing. And because you woke up today, you think you are all right. But God says there's going to come a day. There's going to come a time. There's going to come a moment when we're going to have to discuss everything you did and say. Lord, have mercy. Same chapter. Let's look at verses 14 through 21. It says, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Ooh. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. See, when you begin to get mature in your faith, you begin to understand that, you're persecuting me, but it's really not you. It's the thing that's on you. Remember Ephesians? Spirit, flesh and blood enemies. So I understand that it's not really you. But here's the thing. Here's when you get real in your faith is when they've wronged you, but you're at the altar on the strength of them. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. He goes on and he says, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Ooh, that's deep. I'm going to tell you right now, it was some nudging went on. Don't think you know it all. Here's number 17. Look what it says. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, watch this, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing so, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. That's powerful, huh? Instead of you being out to get your oppressor, be ready to do good by your oppressor. Paul is addressing the proper response of a Christian when treated wrongly. Verse 21 explains the idea of heaping burning coals on someone by saying, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Anyone can return evil for evil. But when a Christian does so, the watching world sees nothing different but about our lives. Huh? It's not even clear who's right and who's wrong when we respond in a way that's wrong to the one who wronged us. Did you understand what I was saying? How many of you saved in here? Amen. And have you ever been in a situation with somebody that rubbed you the wrong way and they pulled you so out of character that somebody that came along and didn't know you didn't know who the saved one was? You should always be able to tell who the saved. You remember back in the day in the Old Testament when the two ladies was fighting over the baby and Solomon was king and one baby, there was two women, they was pregnant, and one baby died and one baby made it. And in the middle of the night, the lady snuck over and switched the babies and gave the girl the dead baby, and she kept the live baby. And the mother said, hold on, baby, this ain't my baby. First of all, I know my child, and my child was alive when I went to sleep. You understand what I'm saying to you? So I know this ain't my baby. And the lady was like, well, this is my baby. This ain't your baby, and you ain't getting the baby back. And so this is how Solomon dealt with the situation. He took the live baby and said, well, I tell you what, since we can't get this worked out, I'm just going to cut the baby in half and give you half. And the lady whose baby that it wasn't, she was okay with that because at least she had half of the baby. But the mama who was the mama for real said, go ahead, let her have you. Go ahead, let her have him, because I don't want no harm to come to the baby. And Solomon said, you are that baby's mama. Mama. Yeah. Yeah. Solomon was able to see who the mother was because of the love of the mother. Let me tell you something. I don't care how bad somebody rubbed you wrong. Everybody should always be able to tell that you're the saved one in the situation. Your talk shouldn't be like the one who's coming up against you. Your attitude shouldn't be like the one that's coming up against you. Yeah, that got quiet in her on that one. Yeah, on the job. You got a whole attitude with your boss. Your boss don't see nothing saved about you. And you trying to figure out why it ain't getting no better. Because you and her being you instead of being the new you. You don't get to pick and choose when you knew. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Why are you still rocking an old attitude and a new you? The Bible says when you work as unto the Lord, not as unto man. So why is man able to stress you anyway? Do you understand. I was listening to a video by Apostle Rhodes yesterday, and he was talking about realms. And he said, listen, you shouldn't be on this level. You should be on a realm. And that's real right there. You understand what I'm saying to you? When you're a born-again, blood-bought believer, you ought to be in a realm. Watch this, that normal stuff, levels don't get to fool with. Yeah. A lot of people do a lot of stuff, and people look at me, he ain't said nothing. I'm in a realm, baby. I'm in a realm. I ain't on no level. I'm in a realm. You understand what I'm saying to you? You didn't think I caught that yesterday. I was watching that. Yeah. When you get to realms, Lord, have mercy. You see. Should always be able to know you saved. Should always be able to know that you are not the same. We should all be singing Kendrick Lamar. They not like us. They not like us. I promise I'm saved. I just watched the Super Bowl show. Anybody can do evil for evil. But you got to remember who's watching you. But when we follow Jesus' instruction to love our enemies and return good for evil, the contrast is so stark. Our kind of gentle reaction to hatred spotlights the depravity of the one who treated us poorly and leaves that hurtful person alone in his or her own hatefulness. You ever had somebody do you wrong and you do them right? And they get mad at you even more? Huh? I just cut you and you feeding me. Yeah. See, and so that whole heaping of the coals thing, what's supposed to happen is when people do you wrong, you do Jesus. Lord, have mercy. And on the strength of you doing Jesus, it ought to make them stop and think. It's not necessarily real literal coals burning on their head. You understand what I'm saying to you? But what it is there's a judgment going on the strength between them and themselves, them and God. You understand? Because they know that they've done you wrong, but all you've shown them in response to that is Jesus. People do you wrong. Do what? Jesus. People talk crazy to you. Talk what? Jesus. We never respond to evil with evil. And when we respond to evil with love, what we do is we glorify the Father right then. Because some people know you and say, you know what? I remember a time when she would have. But on the strength of this saved position now, on the strength that they've been going to church, on the strength that they've given their life to God, now I can see that God is real and God is working in their life. And right then and there, you have brought glory to the Father. Lord, have mercy. Yeah, don't nothing bother a hateful person like love. Huh? And some of you have been trying to figure out, Why, I mean, I don't even say nothing to them. I ain't never said nothing about them. I ain't never done them wrong. You know, I've helped them out a couple of times. Why do they? Because they don't love theyself, so they can't love you. When you don't love yourself, you can't accept love from somebody else. In fact, since it's love is such a foreign topic to them, that you make them uncomfortable by your love. Lord, have mercy. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. We're almost done, I promise. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 26. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. When was the last time you had your haters in your prayers? Asking God to help them. And it wasn't one of those prayers that go like, Lord, you better get them before I get them. I ain't talking about one of them prayers. You know people actually pray like that? Lord, you better get them before I get them. And be dead serious. First of all, think of the unmitigated gall. You better. Lord, you better. You better get them before I get them. Do you understand, number one? Yes, demanding God, but get this. But you threatening his child. Because even though they're offensive to you, they still his baby. Oh, God. Lord, have mercy. but rather, when was your last time your prayer was this? Lord, help them. Whatever has them in a bad way, deliver them. Do you know that we should cry out in prayer for our enemies as if they was our own people? That's love. We should do you know, I tell you things from my former religion because it's not real doesn't mean they didn't have some right concepts. In the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he would say every night, he says that a true Muslim every night should cry himself to sleep, looking at the sins of the world, reminiscing on the sins of the world, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never wanted his world to be like this. Do you know, as a Christian, we should be crying ourselves to sleep every night? But do you see how much we've been conditioned to? Six month old babies raped to death, and we go, that don't make no sense. How in the world are we not breaking down and crying? It don't make no difference if that baby was in North Dakota. The baby was 6 months and got raped to death. Every man and woman in here should be in tears. We should be in a shambles because sin has crossed the path of an innocent baby. Anytime that your friend misses the mark, anytime that your friend says back and says, man, I messed up, or girl, I messed up, you know, what you should, it shouldn't be gossip to you. It should be a breakdown. So who you supposed to love has missed the mark, and as a consequence, there's been a separation between them and God, and that ought to break your heart. There's a very popular rapper right now, Christian rapper, who is going through hell and high water on every side because of some decisions that he made. And Kevin and I are sitting back like, and we're depressed. We're depressed because he's separated from God right now. He's in a place to where he's not come to himself. He's not had a moment, and then he came to himself. And he's not went back to God, and he's not repented yet. And as a consequence, if he was to die right now, he'd go to hell. And we're sad about that. And anybody that's got family members who ain't saved, you ought to be sad about that. And when you got friends, but you talk about everything but the word, and you know that they ain't saved, something's wrong, baby. You're supposed to be sad that you got people in your life that ain't at one with Jesus. And as a consequence, if their head was to grow cold, they would go to hell. This is real. It should bother you. I ain't got nothing to talk about with an unsaved soul except Jesus. We ain't talking sports, we ain't talking cars, we ain't talking shoes, we talking Jesus. We got to get your soul in right alignment with God. And somewhere along the lines, we have forgotten that our responsibility and Christian duty is to win them to the Lord. Just to win them to the Lord. You better get out of your feelings. Start doing your job. Ain't nothing unsaved around me gonna be comfortable. He didn't save me just to be saved. He saved me to go win others. He saved you to go win others. He didn't let you die in the midst of your hell because not just because you're so special and you're so cute and you all that. No, so that you could go out and bring somebody back to the kingdom. Verse number 29, to him who strikes you on the cheek, on the one cheek, offer the other also. And for him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. And listen, I remember when I used to read that verse, and I would read, if they hit you, if they smack you on the right cheek, turn your cheek. And I'd be like, I wish I would. Somebody smack me in the cheek. You understand what I'm saying to you? But can I just go ahead and tell you this? If you have been in the scriptures for over a year, when you read that, and the first thing that really rises up on the inside of you is, if somebody smack me, I'm smacking the back, you are behind. Now, I ain't talking about letting around people just go around beat on you. I ain't saying that. But I'm saying that the first thing that comes out of our belly shouldn't be something that is derogatory to the kingdom of God. It shouldn't always be that. It can't always be that. Where is the growth in that? When people step back and say, you know what? I remember a time that I would have slapped him. What you're telling me is that you really wanted to slap him. Which is telling me you really ain't grew that much. You understand what I'm saying to you? Like, this thing is so for real that God is about, and things that we read and things that we read in the Word, and we make light of it and we joke and we laugh, and God is like, my son died about this. What is funny? My child died on the strength of this for you. What is funny? How you just going to act like you don't know you wrong right now? And my son died for this. Lord, have mercy. It says, to him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. If they sue you for your coat, give them the sweater too. Listen to me. As hard as all of this sounds, and it is hard, if you live your life like this, though, God will reward you. Verse number 30, God, give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. Let's not talk about somebody trucking you, okay? The Bible is clear about loans. If someone asks for something, mainly money, we're talking about some money. If you're gonna need it back, don't give it to them. The Bible says, give to everyone who asks you. So if you can't afford to give it, don't loan it. Amen. I know that's tight. But Susan Saints used to say, it's tight, but it's right. If you can't afford to give it, don't loan it. And just as you want men to do to you, in verse number 31, and just as you want men to do to you, you also do them likewise. Treat people how you want them to be treated. Amen? Verses 32 through 35. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? This is Jesus talking. For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. Verse number 34, and if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be what? Great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. You see that? The Bible says there is no credit to you from loaning, but the credit you receive is in giving. Lord, have mercy. Verse number 36. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. You see that? Be merciful to people that owe you as God has been merciful to you. Huh? Yeah. Because if they came to you, they needed it. So we don't need to put a deadline on it. And if you got to put a deadline on it, you don't need to give it. And it's okay to have it but can't give it. That's okay. But be merciful. Why you got to be merciful? Because God was merciful to you? What you got? That's why you should be merciful. Because God has kept you. Last bit of scripture and we're done. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. The first three verses are saying no matter what you do, if you don't have love, you don't have anything. You can speak in tongues, preach the paint off the walls, but it ain't about nothing without love. Amen? And most of you have heard me say this before, but if you can speak in tongues but can't speak to people, Houston, we have a problem. Something wrong. Amen? Love suffers long. Verse number 4, love suffers long. That means love is willing to be patient with people. I don't know about nobody else in here, but I'm glad that God never drew a line in the sand and said, that's it, I've had enough of you. Well, what if the Lord done that? What if he done that? What if he said, you know what, this is enough. You just keep on. I bless the Lord. That wasn't his mentality when it came to me. You understand? I know some of y'all came out the womb speaking in tongues, but for me, I had a struggle. Amen. It was a struggle over here. Love is kind. Love treats people with kindness. Ask yourself right now and be honest. Am I patient with people? Am I kind with people? Ask yourself that question real quick. Am I patient with people? And am I kind with people? Can I add something to it? Ask yourself this. When people offend me, do I get offensive? Or do they see the love of Christ? Ask yourself that. When people come at me wrong, do they find out I still cuss? Huh? Hold up, but did you know your nasty talk could be just as bad as profanity? You know you could be so slick in the mouth of people that it cut worse than a cuss word. Ask yourself, where are you in all of this? Lord, have mercy. Simply, love does not envy. Simply put, love isn't jealous. Love is not jealous. I want to see others win. See, I understand that when God blesses my brother, he bless, you know, you ought to get excited because that means God's in the neighborhood. Huh? And he might just have a blessing for me. You can't get jealous when God bless somebody else. Kevin got him a new car, and I was just like, man, I was so happy. I called everybody, didn't I, baby? I was like, Kevin got a car. He ain't got to drive that van no more. He ain't got to go. $500 worth of gas just to get to save a lot or wherever you are. He don't need to save a lot. But I'm just saying, you know. I don't know if he used to save a lot or not. I don't know why that. Huh? Before he got off the phone, I said, congratulations 3 or 4 times because I was just so happy. And then when I seen it, I'm like, man, you would have thought that was mine. And if God don't got a blessing in the neighborhood for me today, so what? He blessed my brother. And that's how we're supposed to be with each other. I'm excited because I still see God working in his life. Despite all the hell coming up against him, God is still working in his life. My brother needed a victory. He needed a win. Everything was body blowing him from every side. And then God just showed up and done something that nobody else could do. I'll tell you something else. I don't want what God has for me until I'm mature enough to handle it. Huh? You know you're growing when you get to that mentality. God, you keep it. I ain't grown enough for that yet. Amen. The Bible says that love does not parade itself. Love does not brag. Love is humble. Love is not puffed up. Love isn't proud. Love does not behave rudely. Real love has good manners. Love does not seek its own. Is not provoked and thinks no evil. Examine yourself again. Do you have good manners? Verse number 6. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. This means you don't get happy when people mess up. Huh? If y'all don't get that, girl, you ain't gonna believe it. Out your spirit. Bruh, can you believe if you don't get that out your spirit? That is gossip. And you know why you should never be caught up with somebody else's fall? Because you just a fall away. When I heard about that rapper, I said, hey, I ain't got a bad word to say. How dare I fix my mouth to say anything about this brother? I'm just in prayer for him. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. God wants us to have the type of love that no matter how messed up we act in, we still got belief that you can be better. I'm gonna put up with that because I believe there's more to you than what you're showing me right now. You know what I'm saying? God wants us to have a love for one another to where you could be at your worst and I got your back because I see something in you that you're not able to see in yourself. You see? You don't beat nobody down because they done had a fall, because they done had a mess up. It ought to break your heart if you love right. It ought to break your heart. Lord, have mercy. Verse number 8, love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. That which ain't perfect. That which ain't mature will be done away with. It's about the love of it. It is absolutely about the love of it. And I want to say this in closing. This ministry is in the stage of a rebirth. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And it's the foundation. It's fresh mortar being poured. It's the fresh laying of concrete, and the foundation is new. And what we have to do right now is we have to lay the foundation in love. Amen. So next Sunday when you come, God willing, when you come, I don't want you all over the place. I don't want to see this room scattered. Some over here, two over here, three over here, one over here. You understand what I'm saying to you? These first three rows need to be occupied. Quit acting like we got the plague. You go everywhere else and you ain't worried about it. These first three rows need to be occupied. Ministry is going to be down here. If you're on the ministry team, if you're in leadership, you need to be down here on this front row. You understand what I'm saying to you? And then we push him back. And what's going to happen is when people come in, they're going to sit back and they're going to follow what they see. Oh, ain't nobody back here. Let me walk on down here too. We are family. Why we got to always be so scattered? Amen. This church is going to operate on love. Yes, Lord. Love. Now I know I got some seasoned saints. And I know I got some saints that these steps ain't good for. The top is always for you. You know, I'm not talking to you. Amen? I would never put a burden or a strain on you. But for those of you who are of able body, amen, and speak to somebody. You know what? I've been going over here for 6 months. What's your name? And I'm sorry it took me 6 months to get over here. Speak to somebody. When church is over, quit bolting out that door. Can't wait to get to the world. Oh, I made it. Stop and just say, hey, Paige drives an hour and 15 minutes to get here for practice on Thursday nights. When it's snowing, she was on the road. We had to make her go home. Y'all know it? Paige, raise your hand. Y'all supposed to be praying for Paige on Wednesday night, Thursday afternoon. Lord, I know Paige is getting ready to get on that highway to come to practice. Lord, to keep bless her with traveling mercies, keep everything around her safe. You understand what I'm saying to you? Lord, she's on her way here. She's got to be at practice on Sunday mornings at 9:30. I know she's on that road. Lord, keep her safe. So today we're going to do something different. We're going to do something different today. I want you to stand to your feet if you're able to. Niecy, I want you to come one down next to Corey. Cheryl, I want you to come over here by Clint. Clint, raise your hand. There you go. I want you, Cheryl, Corey's right there, right next to you. Cheryl, I want you over by Clint. Miko, I want y'all to come on down. I want you down here by Samantha now. Wilma, come on down. If you can. Kim and Kenneth, come on down. My Donna and my Brenda, I want y'all right next to each other. Take that walk over a little closer to her. Amen. Paige, scoot in. Bees, come on over. This is very serious. Kim and Kenneth, scoot over. Willie, get over there with them. Ashley, come on down. Beautiful Christy, come on down. Next to Tracy. Ashley, you next to Tracy. I want Christy next to Ashley. Now, I want you to ask a question. I want you to turn to the person next to you, and I want you to ask them, what do we need to pray for today? Ask each other. What? Layla, ask Shamika, what do we need to be praying for today? Shamika, ask Layla, what we need to be praying for today? This is serious. Samantha, did you and Miko ask each other? Amen. Everybody know what we're supposed to be praying for? John, did you and Kevin?
Yes, we did.
All right. Larissa, ask Buddy what he need to be praying for. What you need to be praying for, Buddy? You need to find out what she needs to be praying for. Come here. Come on out of there. You've been going through more hell than a little bit. All in my prayers. Come on out here. Come on over here. You ask Sister Glenda what she need prayer for. Glenda, you find out what he need prayer for. Now on the count of three, we're going to begin to pray. Amen. One, two, three.